Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
Still here.
And we're talking with Ann Fangman, who is the Executive Director of Sustainable Long Island, a tremendous organization that's been around for many, many years and is very instrumental in creating tremendous opportunities on Long Island. And Otto, you had a question just before the break that I just give a little rewrap.
Yeah, basically, I understand that economics comes into the equation and somebody decided they could make a lot of money by building the housing, you know, the Ritz-Carlton complex, and politics does come into the equation. But I was just wondering what Sustainable Long Island thoughts were on that subject.
Hi, so great question. I think the topic of affordable housing, workforce housing, and just alternative housing options here on Long Island is a big one. And what I will say is Sustainable Long Island has in the past helped support projects that provide affordable units, for both seniors, youth, and others in our workforce in several of our different community areas that we've worked in over the years. On a policy level, we do get involved with advisory groups and committees, and we try to review policy and try to make suggestions that would help forward better housing options on Long Island. What I will say, too, is missing here on Long Island is more rental housing. We lag far, far behind when compared to counties like Westchester and areas in New Jersey when it comes to our rental housing stock. And that's definitely another housing consideration that we need to be taking a look at moving forward. There seems to be a positive trend in many of our downtowns, just to name some examples such as Patchogue and Farmingdale and other areas here on Long Island to try to put more alternative housing options there. Do we need more? Absolutely. And as much as Sustainable Long Island can help to promote the benefits of having different housing options, I think we will.
Right. I mean, you basically are facilitators and recommenders, but you can't do it. You have to get other people to be willing to do what you're hoping for.
Right.
I would say, right?
Like, yes.
I know you've been, this is probably a little off the track here, but I did read that your group is very involved with the Long Island Railroad third track, as an example. And I happen to live in New Hyde Park, so it's a subject that gets a fair amount of attention in that part of the world, and it does cover a pretty good chunk of Long Island in general. I happen to think it's a good thing, but I don't happen to live right on the railroad tracks either. But what, you know, how does Sustainable Long Island get involved with something like that?
So our role is really just as a member of what's being called the Right Track Coalition, which is a group of stakeholders that are in support of the project. And I did recently go to one of the scoping meetings that was held at the Inn at New Hyde Park and spoke in support of the project. My family, some of my close family members are from New Hyde Park originally. I'm very familiar with the area. I think whenever it comes to big infrastructure projects of this magnitude, there are always going to be pros and cons. And you're always going to hear different perspectives from the residents to the elected officials to those to real estate developers, politicians, and it's really about weighing the pros and cons of the project. At the end of the day, we support the project at Sustainable Long Island because we believe it's going to bring better transit options to some of our communities. It's going to promote economic development and help with the reverse commute and bringing other professionals out to Long Island who otherwise would not have that opportunity. And it's going to bring job growth. Of course, being the organization that we are, I'm advocating strongly for a transparent public outreach process so that any of those concerns that are being brought to the table by residents of areas like New Hyde Park and Floral Park and those surrounding communities are heard and that those concerns are dealt with in an appropriate manner by Long Island Railroad and the MTA and the consultants working on the project.
Yeah, I went on the website, amodelli.com, and I found it to be very good in communicating the pros and some of the issues that people ask, you know, with the frequently asked questions. So I don't know who set that up, but I think it's a good idea.
And, you know, from what I've seen so far, it seems like there's really an effort. There was a huge effort when this project came up in previous years, but it seems like that's being continued forward in trying to bring as many stakeholders together as possible to build support for the project. So it's not just the project being implemented, but it really has that on-the-ground support. That's what's trying to be facilitated, I believe, this time around as well.
And I have a question. I'm going to go back to rentals because you said there's such a need for rental property on Long Island. And here's the dilemma that I think, and I'm not involved in this. You have Brooklyn and you have Long Island City and you have Astoria, places with a lot of rental apartments, but they're pre-war buildings. So they were built and the owners can make a decent profit without having to have tremendous rents. Now, when you're putting these buildings up in Long Island, they're going in at today's dollars. So building these structures, they're beautiful, but they're expensive. And from my perspective, you can't expect the owner or the builder to turn around and say, well, I know I've just spent, you know, $50 million to build this apartment complex. I'll give it to you for $1,000 a month. I mean, I saw the rents for the Mineola complex that just went up. It's $3,000 and $4,000 an apartment.
Exactly.
Yes, it's right by the railroad. It's a great place to live, but we're just creating apartments for wealthy people.
With a studio or one bedroom.
Yeah. And I know this is a really hard question. How can that be addressed? I mean, you have to build with the price of brick and labor today, et cetera. I mean, then you turn around, you go, you do it without labor, which is a terrible thing to do because then you run the risks of, you know, faulty. And I'm not saying people who aren't labor members would be faulty, but, you know, you want to have safeguards.
It's a really tough question and one that I don't think we really have an answer for yet. I think, though, the idea of trying to build community and having as many stakeholders involved in the process as possible and trying to enact smart policy decisions that benefit everyone so that from the developer level all the way down to those that would be moving into these apartments, there's an equitable share amongst all parties, if you will.
Right.
And I think that equation works in some places, and it may not work in others. And it's also variable due to market conditions at the time and, you know, how fast the community wants to move on just getting, you know, property back on the tax rolls. And that's not a bad thing. You know, some of the time there just isn't an opportunity to put rentals or affordable units into some of these properties because, you know, the community really just wants to start, having some prosperity.
Right,
again.
Right. Good. That's a great answer.
But I think as many opportunities as there are to be able to incorporate these elements, we should be taking a hard look at that. And it's not one size fits all.
Great. Another one, which I reading your stuff, and I didn't even know the term, brownfields.
Hmm. Right. So this is a huge, huge area that we're working with on Long Island because, as you know, we're kind of in a post-industrial atmosphere where there are so many sites on Long Island that were manufacturing facilities or industrial facilities that, you know, closed many years ago. And when it comes to those properties being redeveloped, it's a challenge because there's contaminants on the properties, you know, they need to be remediated. And some of them are in our best sites, right on waterfronts, really the best real estate we have available. So, you know, there's been many programs, you know, on the state and federal level over the years to help redevelop these properties. And Sustainable Long Island's been involved with several brownfield opportunity area programs in areas like Hicksville and the town of Riverhead over the years. And it's so crucial. There's also many sites, things like dry cleaners and nail salons and old gas stations that may or may not pose a threat, but we have to call them brownfields until, you know, we know what's really there. And these sites are all ripe for redevelopment, especially in our downtown areas. We're not increasing gas stations, you know, for the most part, we're looking to redevelop those corner gas stations into a higher and better use.
Well, you mentioned being familiar with New Hyde Park. That's one area where there's a lot of old buildings that I walk a lot. So when I walk by some of these buildings, I wonder what would be good to have there. You know, what should replace these buildings? And there are times where these buildings just go into disrepair and nothing happens. Would you consider those as a brownfield kind of situation?
It depends. It's interesting that you bring up old buildings. I happen to live in a historic building in Rockville Center that was built in 1929, the Rockville Tudor. And, the amount of work that's needed to just keep these buildings, in a state of good repair is amazing. And some of these buildings, if they were built pre-war or otherwise, there may be asbestos, there might be other contaminants that are, unknown. And yes, something would be considered a brownfield if there is, that potential for there being an environmental threat that's unknown. I think as much as possible, of course, we want to try to use historic preservation and adaptive reuse to bring these buildings back to, their earlier glory. And as a planner, I have to say, I absolutely support mixed-use development, especially in our downtown areas, the concept of having a mix of businesses and stores and housing all potentially on the same site. And I think there's a lot of potential there with some of our older buildings and housing stock.
Well, like if you take the Long Island Railroad and you drive by Long Island City, which John mentioned earlier, there's a tremendous amount of upgrading being done to some of the old loft buildings, the old factories. And John is just pointing because we're running out of time. And you can't see that, so that's why I'm bringing it up.
Right. And we have to end this. It's amazing. A half hour has gone by this quickly. What the information that you have brought to us from Sustainable Long Island is tremendous, and it needs to continue. So I thank you, Anne, very much for participating. We need to have you back again because this is issues that need to be addressed. I appreciate you coming on the show, and I thank you. You're listening to You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.